Hello, hello. Here we are again, coming to you from Broadcast Team Alpha, and this is the Paranormal World Show. You know, the show for the thinking global citizen that is not afraid to step outside of the box and wonder, what else is out there that I haven't heard on Channel 5 on TV? And my name is Agi, and well, we are coming to you from 44 different platforms around the world, and we are also transmitting through a wonderful platform called the Conscious Awakening Network. And you got to go visit those guys because they got close to 50 shows, and these shows are about all the stuff that we really want to know about. And we are on Roku, three TV stations, and a bunch of social media platforms, so check them out. And before I introduce our guests here, I want to also tell you how you can connect with us. You can get us on broadcastteamalpha.com and just send us a message and we'll get back to you. And if you are watching on YouTube right now, that's the good place for you to be because that's the only place where we monitor the chat room. And please subscribe. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and also check the bell so you can get a notification when the next show is coming out. And then Nori and I have created a spiritual think tank, the Mastermind Connection, and we do incredible things, kind of like almost creating out of seemingly nothing sometimes. I know that's what in the past they used to call miracles, but it does happen. So if you want to check out and see what that looks like and be part of something that is probably greater than ourselves, send us an email to themastermindconnection@gmail.com and I'll send you a link and you can come and check it out. And well, I don't have anything else to say. I want to introduce the guest. That is Geraldine Orozco. And welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Augie. It's such an honor to be here once again.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. You are everywhere out there. You are in conferences, in interviews, and documentaries and just about everywhere. So an introduction should really not even be necessary, but I want to do a little bit anyway because of the two people out there that don't know you yet. And you do a lot of things. You are teaching Qigong, you're teaching meditation, you're a hypnotherapist, you're also a neuro-linguistic practitioner, and you teach stress reduction and DNA reprogramming. If you guys don't know what that is, you need to listen really close because there is a way that our genetics doesn't run everything. We have some control over that. We can turn off and turn on markers to make our life better. So listen really close. We may even touch on that a little bit. And then she died. But she came back to talk about it. And we're going to hear about that because that is an incredible story. She also does hypnotic regression, where you can go back and find out what happened in your past that you don't remember. In fact, even before you were born, what did you do then? Now, that could be an interesting one. And she has a lifelong history of alien contact. Or should I say, these days, it should be the term extraterrestrial contact. And I don't know where we have so much to talk about. Where do you want to start? I know there is some you have some contacts and missing time, and where do you want to start?
We can start talking about perhaps the near-death experience. I think that's an interesting segue,
Yeah.
because something that's very interesting that allowed me to understand interdimensionality. I tend to think of ET contact and the contact with entities and beings more as an interdimensional relationship. But how I came to know that was really through my own personal experiences of going beyond the veil at the time when I died in a near-death experience. So in 2018, I was in Mexico, and I'm actually at the pyramids, Chichen Itza pyramids. And first of all, the heat was so strong that I almost died from a heat stroke. That I was able to recover my body and, drink a lot of water and ground myself and do my energy techniques to help regenerate my body energetically. But having drank so much water, leaving the pyramids, going into the car about 15 minutes down the road, I had to use the restroom, and I get out on this teeny tiny little town in the middle of the jungle, middle of nowhere, to use this square box that's just covered in spider webs and jungle creatures. And as I enter, I feel poke on my hip, and I didn't really think much of it. But as I'm leaving there, I walk back towards the car. And as I reach to open the door of the car, my entire hand is covered in boils, like bubbles all over everything, like both hands. And it was just unbelievable. Immediately, my throat started to close, my tongue started to swell, my lungs started to feel like I couldn't breathe and open air into the body. And my entire lower parts of my extremities were going completely numb, including my arms. And I sit in the car getting ready to head back, and we're about 2 hours away from any hospital, anything, any civilization. So my poor friend that I was with, was panicking and rushing like 100 miles an hour down that highway, and we are stopped at a checkpoint by military. And when they see me in the car, they see my hands and they see my state, and they say, you got bitten by a scorpion. That's a poisonous scorpion. You need to get to a hospital immediately. And we asked him, how do I get there? He's like, right now there's nobody, so you're gonna have to go as fast as you can. He called all of the checkpoints that were up ahead, and we drove like 100 miles an hour. But at that point, I was going into anaphylactic shock, and it was progressing so quickly, and I just couldn't breathe anymore. I was sitting in the car trying to breathe and breathe and hold my breath, and I just couldn't. And all of a sudden, from one moment to the next, I'm seeing a tunnel of light, and I'm literally snapped out of my body into that white light. And as my friend states, I literally my pulse stopped. I completely went, still. My friend was panicking. As I'm looking down into the car, I see myself leaving the body, looking at the roof of the car, and there were some very colorful bird droppings on top of the car. I'm seeing my friend crying over my body and driving as fast as he can. And I'm being directed and pulled towards this white light. And as I enter into the white light, I began to see in the tunnel of white light, I see my mother, my father, and I'm beginning to feel how tragic it's going to be for them to have experienced this death. And I'm running through the ahead of time, looking at the images of what will happen to them. And all of a sudden, I begin to see my ancestors. As I begin to question, why did I come into this death experience at this time? And to the right of that, as I ask that question, there's a giant scorpion that appears in front of me, and a contract, a little a contract, an actual book of some sort, stating the experience that I'm having. And as I'm reviewing that, I begin to do my practices. So I do a technique called DNA reprogramming, and in that technique, we review ancestral contracts to understand better what are our agreements, our experiential agreements. So we're so deeply interconnected with our life experiences, and we play such a powerful role in the co-creation of the experiences that we have agreements that are kind of somewhat predestined based on our genetic history and what we allow ourselves to express. And so, in this case, this experience was like a conjunction between many timelines that had come together to experience this moment. And when I realized that, and when I realized my lesson and the role that brought me into that, Immediately, I dissolved the contract. I began to see interdimensional beings that opened up through the white light, and I was taken through galaxies. It seemed like forever, but in 1 second. And as I made the agreement to live again and to live out my role in my life, what I was supposed to do here as my purpose, it all of a sudden became very clear to me what I was supposed to be doing and where I had kind of deviated away from that. And the moment I understood that, I immediately went back into the body. So, and I just, came back to life, like in the car, and my friend was shocked, screaming. And like by the time we got to the hospital, the doctor was looking at the EKG, looking at the history of what had just happened, and she didn't understand how I was still alive after such a severe anaphylactic shock, how I could have regressed that by myself in a minute. And so I was able to come back from that. But the most powerful lesson of that was to understand that we really do have contractual agreements, and our agreements transcend this physical life. The things that we feel are true and real to us around us, we actually have agreements that we create in dream time, many lifetimes that we're kind of anchoring information, and we are interacting in other planes, in ways that we don't really understand. And so, what I realized is that not only are my everyday human interactions contractual agreements that I make, those are made and fed in by ancestral programs, ancestral lineages. In fact, we come into families as a result of resonance, and we live out life experiences as a result of this coherence that brings us together to learn lessons. And in addition to that, we also are kind of creating these interdimensional agreements in dream time. So in our dreamscape, when we become lucid, when we have these experiences, we're actually interacting with other timelines that are available to us. And for centuries, many of our ancestors have discussed walking in dreams, everything from the Hopis to the Indians to the Mayans to the Hindus, the Taoists that talk about waking up consciousness in dream state, entering into the higher realm of the higher faculties, and how that happens as a result of the integration of our energy bodies. So there really seems to be a kind of puzzle piece brought together. Now, we mentioned that we were going to talk about missing time, and
But first, I think I got a
yeah,
question.
oh, sure.
Let me, there's something that I have wondered about for quite some time. Evidently, it wasn't your time to go, right? But why did you have that experience? Why did you dive? Was that an accident or was that a planned event in your contract to wake you up to something? Or does it actually have accidents on the other side too?
Yeah, so well, there is a couple laws in this universe, universal laws that are far greater than what we understand. They are the building blocks and the foundation of creation and experiential experiences as a human. These laws of the universe help us understand how to exchange life force with one another. And that exchange of life force is essentially what manifests into life experiences. And so, how we cultivate that life force over generations is encoded and stored in our DNA. They are stories, they are histories, they are programs that we then play out, and that creates the lives that we have. So in this case, these are experiential contracts. And so at that point, I had been going through 2 years of major and existential awakenings from 2017 up until 2018. I had been receiving extreme downloads of information that allowed me to understand, clear understanding of the purpose of humanity, of the soul, and the role that it played, because I wanted to learn more about the hybridization program, and I wanted to learn about the role of DNA in the hybridization program and what the connection was to a soul. That was my primary inquiry that brought me into these cycles of downloads. And I was going through several years of purification where, I wasn't watching television, listening to music, just completely cultivating that pure connection. And
Yes.
what that allowed me to do was kind of refine my discernment and my vision. But at the same time, the human part of me was a little bit, I guess th there was a bit of fear around what would happen if I would continue to go into that dissolving of my identity. And it came to a point where I began to question the purpose of the existence in coherence with this, if you reach this state of awareness, if everything is such cause and effect and such harmony, such cycles of peace, what is the purpose of the human experience? That was my question.
Yeah.
And I think that question really brought me to question if it was necessary to be embodied in the physical. And it was literally 3 weeks before this experience that I had that question in deep, deep meditation. I basically presented to myself, well, I wonder what death is like in terms of what happens when we leave our body. How do the cycles of reincarnation function in that way? What are the contractual agreements? So, at the time in Mexico, when I went to Mexico to do this excursion, I didn't really remember that I had that inquiry a couple years ago, a couple weeks ago. And it wasn't until that moment that I died that I began to review the contract, that the contract was actually inviting me to take a look at my relationship with trust, my relationship with taking responsibility for the role that I had then taken. Because when you come into these heightened states of awakening and consciousness, there's a certain responsibility. And I felt that responsibility very heavy. I wanted to be very mindful of what I share with others, what I teach, what I, because I never wanted to cause harm or confusion or any kind of deviation from personal experiences. And so it was important for me to understand how do those laws and ethics function when you are sharing your information? Where does your information begin and end with another human? And so, this death experience really helped me understand the value of our experiences in awakening. When you channel certain information, it's extremely pertinent to you. It's extremely valuable for you as a human. And the first thing you have to do is to integrate that fully into your own personal journey.
Yeah.
And through that process, become an example that is then kind of like a beacon of light to those around you. They pick up the energy and they learn from your energetic field how you hold energetic space. And that's really the most powerful integrity of the embodiment of a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Rather than enforcing ideas or pushing ideas or teaching or even that, the example of that is actually much more powerful. So this near-death experience helped me understand that I had to wake up consciousness to leaving the concepts of guilt, of shame, of fear around the knowledge that we come into. And this is an ancestral program that comes down my generations for a really long time. Every time someone in the lineage came into a heightened state of awareness, there was a doubt that brought them right back down to a lower state. And so this death experience allowed me to understand that there we have this impermanence. Our contractual agreements don't end at the time of death.
Yeah.
In a way, they're kind of carried on lifetime to lifetime as a creation of frequency that we're kind of refining in every life and every cycle that we experience. So, yeah.
I wonder about something also. When you went through the tunnel, there many people talk about a phenomenal good feeling of love at the other side. And were you ever being there, were you tempted to stay and not come back?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's very interesting that you asked that question because when you leave the body, there's this incredible feeling of peace and freedom because the body is quite dense. If we don't know how to master this physical body, it can be very easy to become entangled in emotion, sensation, body. This is why I train what I train people to do now, to make this physical experience a bliss state, a consistent bliss state, but in powerful co-creation and integrity with your journey. It's not just imaginary and being always feeling good. It's about learning how to integrate those emotions and use them for your healing
Yeah.
journey. And so when I left the body, I really said, I don't really want to come back. I really don't want to come back. I'm good. I'm okay with leaving. But in that moment, I was shown a flash of my ancestors. All my ancestors came forth. I saw them all in a crowd, and I saw all my interdimensional beings of light, white brotherhoods, sisterhoods, these councils of light that I had been connected to for centuries, helping me understand that my existence on this earth was not random, and it was not something so light. It was actually extremely important that I did what I was supposed to be doing here.
Yeah.
Writing the book that I'm writing, sharing the information that I'm sharing, because you're helping a tremendous amount of people move out of suffering into a state of healing. And that is no easy feat. And you are creating ripple effects in many dimensions. So when I realized the importance of that, I understood the responsibility be behind that experience. And I agreed to return back. And I agreed to do exactly what I was supposed to do here.
Yep.
And it was when I made that agreement that I actually returned right back to my body. I think that if I hadn't understood that, perhaps I would have just, completely passed on.
Yeah,
But
and
this.
you are doing it. And just for a moment, I want to talk to the listeners out there. It's becoming obvious, not only from your testimony of firsthand experience, but thousands and thousands of other people that have had this experience or similar. Death is nothing to be afraid of because it could be just a short moment of fear, and from there on, it is nearly bliss. And I have a personal experience of a guy here in Tucson that I met years ago. He was so afraid of death because he was a sniper for the US Army in Vietnam, and he had, I think he said, 21 verified kills. He shot them. He didn't know what that person was, but he killed them. And the preacher told him, "Oh, you're going to hell." So he was so afraid of it, but he had a near-death experience. And it was wonderful on the other side. He never saw hell. There were nothing like it. And then he came back, and he is also no longer afraid of hell.
Wow, amazing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you that one of the most powerful states is when we don't feel fear. In fact, most of humanity, believe it or not, most of the suffering that we cause ourselves and others is because we have a profoundly deep subconscious fear of death. And it's really interesting how it manifests. And I see this a lot in my work. When I take somebody into DNA reprogramming, and they find themselves a fear of, I don't know, writing or creating a project or even having a child. At the very end of that, when you follow those emotions, they fear death. They fear suffering. They feel this feeling of the finite that is going to just completely end everything. And it's important for the human to work on shifting that perspective into a broader way to observe these cycles of life and death, because it liberates us from these limiting concepts and really helps us come into a powerful state of co-creation where we're not tied to any one state of being. And that's what the human experience is. We are evolving in this entire lifetime, 100 years maybe of life, you are evolving and shifting, constantly dying. Parts of you have to die constantly, and parts of you are being birthed. And that's very important.
Yes, absolutely. And Your experience here is much like many others. So we know there is a consistency on the other
Yes,
side.
exactly.
There's
Yes.
things we can expect it. So that's one of the reasons I don't think there is anything to be afraid of. Unless, of course, you're totally buried in the religious dogma, then you might just find yourself there for a short moment and you'll realize that, wait a minute, I don't have to be here. All I have to do is maybe ask for forgiveness or think yourself out of there and you're back in the light.
Yeah, and you know, another very important thing that I learned from this experience is that when we stay at a low frequency, now looking at the mechanics of the physical body, because we function like a vortex, when the body goes into a low vibration state of fear at the time of death, we actually slow down the movement of that vortex. And in order to have a productive death, what does that mean? That you're able to leave the body in a way that you can enter into a higher octave at the time of death rather than being stuck or fractalized in between dimensional states. Because how do ghosts emerge? Is that these are humans that are completely attached to the physical in some way or another through the emotional sensation body. And they get stuck in between dimensions, between it can be 7 to 9 dimensional plane, and they're not able to go beyond that. And a part of them stays here and they become a ghost essentially, that is deeply, confused about where to go. And that's why people that work with them always show them to go to the light, because they need to raise the vibrational frequency of this aspect of their body in a way where they can move in that toroidal form to move into a higher octave, into a higher dimension. So it's really important to learn how this body functions and train yourself to fear less when we come into a death. Fear, don't fear suffering, and work with your body, your nervous system on a daily basis to allow yourself to come into as much of a less form as you can. Actually, this is the zero point that we want to try to cultivate in the body.
And I know also that you had a few incidents of missing time. That's probably more physical than higher vibratory spiritual experience, but nevertheless, very interesting. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the connection between those two is because we're talking about vibrational frequency in the same way that we're talking about entering the veil of death, leaving the physical body into the interdimensional. When we miss time, we're also doing something very similar. And so missing time, just to be clear, is when we are removed out of one timeline, one time and space, into another one, but time is not moving. Time continues to stay still in that move, in that point, but you are moving at a faster rate. And the next time you wake up consciousness, you return back into this timeline, perhaps in a different location, but not much time has passed. Okay. Or sometimes days have passed and it doesn't feel like days. It feels like minutes for you. So when this is happening, and this has happened to me personally several times in my life as a result of these interdimensional experiences as a child, and as a young adult, where I would be playing as a child and then a white light comes into my room, and then I would completely lose consciousness of this current playtime, and then hours later find myself in my crib in the dark, but no recollection of how or what happened in between then, and no recollection of my parents knowing exactly how to explain what happened or how I got from point A to point B. So it's actually a group situation. It doesn't really, it's not just an individual experience. Oftentimes, if you are around people, it includes them as well. They are involved. And this happens a lot for contactee experiences, in where, when you are in bed, and sleeping in the middle of the night, and you have this awakening, something wakes you up and you start to have a kind of experience, whether it's a white light in the room or beings that appear to you, oftentimes there's a split within the time that is selected in that moment. And we are kind of brought into an encapsulation of experience separate from the other person that is with you. Let's say you're sleeping in the same bed with a partner, and your partner is completely unaware, unconscious, in very deep sleep. Even if you make all the noise in the world, they cannot connect with you or sense you. And you go missing for some time. And there have been many cases where contactees find themselves outside in the backyard in their pajama at like 5 in the morning, and they don't remember how they got there. They just remember having that moment of being woken up at like 2 in the morning, and then all of a sudden they disappear. So what's happening in these moments is that we are entering into other dimensions, and we enter into other dimensions through our physical body as a vessel of vibrational frequency that shifts us from one timeline to another. And this process can be very severe for the body. It can be traumatizing for the body in that the body might not be prepared for that shift of frequency. And what happens to us psychologically is that when we experience traumatic experiences, our memory bank kind of stops recording the memory, connecting it to our, most, immediate memories that we have. They suppress the memories. They lock them into the subconscious mind. And it isn't until the person does hypnotherapy or deep regression in meditation that they can begin to uncover those memories. It's important to understand that these memories don't disappear. It's not that they weren't recorded. In fact, our entire human body functions like a recording mechanism. We are constantly recording our surroundings 360 around the entire body. Every part of our body is absorbing information. And this is true for these experiences as well. In fact, a lot of the times, how we recover these memories is in hypnotherapy, we sit with that initial memory. We usually call it a marker memory. It can be just a small little snippet of something that you just could not get out of your mind. And usually, those experiences tend to be described as realer than real life, where the human just cannot forget this vivid image, but then doesn't know what happens next. Then it's blank. So we go to that little tiny memory and we begin to work on unlocking that memory. And what usually emerges from there is that we recover the memory from the subconscious mind, and it's usually through the physical body that we can access that memory simply by tuning in to the emotions that came up in that moment, the impact, the contraction of the body, how those little slight sensations and emotions felt. We can open up massive memory that comes up. And sometimes these humans are actually being experienced going on board crafts, entering into other dimensions through portals. And it's always this massive shift of frequency into another timeline, another dimension that creates these biological, bioelectrical shifts in the body where we don't record memory in the same way. So this is really interesting because it's something that's been recorded, for centuries, through history, the stories of the people connecting with the star people and then leaving. And then having communications or traveling to different planets, different solar systems, and then being returned back into the present moment. And part of these experiences, oftentimes why there's missing time is that the human has to be isolated. The human has to be isolated for them to go through that vibratory transformation. And it doesn't always mean that the physical body is leaving, it just means that the energy body is shifting into a higher octave. So the physical body could be left behind, but the essence and the consciousness is the one that travels into these higher dimensions. Essentially, they are astral bodies. They are bodies. We are made up of many bodies, and we are learning how to interact with them. So what's really important for us to do when we are having these experiences is integration. one of the what most powerful ways to define how you are moving along your spiritual journey is how much you remember who you are, how much you're conscious in your dream state, how much you're conscious in your waking state, and all of the phenomena that you might experience in your everyday. And trust me, when you're in the present moment, you recognize phenomena more than any other human because you are deeply grounded and rooted in the presence of these experiences. And that's where the veils begin to thin, okay? It's usually when we're not in our bodies, not conscious, trying to avoid the present moment, that we don't have time, the energy, or the frequency to see the other things that exist around us. But it's important to be so conscious that you begin to have that communication because you see, the thing is that whether you like it or not, you are an interdimensional human and you are living and existing in other dimensional planes. And you are very active. You're creating agreements. You're making agreements and experiences. And your awareness of those are absolutely important for the healing of your body, your mind, your ancestral lineage, and even your interdimensional aspects.
And it becomes obvious through these experiences that time is not the same everywhere, because there have been people that was abducted and they're taken onto a ship, and it looks like they've spent days there, and they come back and it's only about 20 minutes missing.
Yes, exactly.
So
Exactly.
that bends the time, but it is not physical time that they spent on the ship. It is an expanded version of the present moment. So it gets complicated out of the physical.
It does for the mind because, you know, the physical experience, we're very much about tangible, you know, physical things, but we have to always remember that even those things are not the physical. They're not solid things. If you zoom into them, there's more space in those things than there are solid form. We have to keep reminding ourselves of these laws of the universe so that we can gently and compassionately move through these life experiences, these paranormal, phenomenal experiences that are part of our human experience. And they are going to be happening more often because we're entering into higher frequency collectively. So, you know, pay attention and don't be afraid. That's the most important thing.
And last Tuesday we interviewed a physicist, and he said, "I can prove on the blackboard that we have more than one timeline. There are parallel timelines. So what you're talking about has a solid basis in science."
Absolutely. Yes.
And also, your alien, or I should change my language on this one. It becomes really, especially these days, it should be extraterrestrial contact.
Yeah, I tend to call them interdimensional even.
Yeah, there
I
you
don't
go.
even say extraterrestrial, to be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand.
Yeah, maybe expand a little bit on that, what you have experienced.
Yeah, well, from my limit, you know, my experience, I tend to see that the construct of the physical as we know it is not what we think it is. Okay, the earth in itself, the way that it functions, you know, is a toroidal field of energy. And the form that most natural organisms tend to take is creating fluid forms of toroidal life force that is flowing. In this toroidal form. And so both the human body and the earth and these constructs, we seem to intercommunicate through quantum non-locality. And if you understand how that functions, you know, we're not really tied to the construct of the planet Earth with the planets and the solar system as we know it. We're kind of moving and interacting and intercommunicating with each other through the five senses. Through our higher faculties. So when we encounter these beings, there is very much an element of interdimensionality. We are actually accessing these beings through other dimensional planes. And we kind of know that because when humans have contact experience, there are always some kind of side effects, activations. The human opens up their multidimensional vision more. And that wouldn't happen if they were always experiencing in this physical realm, in this one-dimensional plane that we're in. That only happens when you open yourself up to these other dimensions. So I don't tend to believe that it's about beings that are entering into Earth. The laws of physics on our Earth as we know it, are completely different when we're talking about interdimensional contact. They are more expanded into the quantum physics of things. And we interact with these beings through portals, through time and space. And there's an interesting documentary called Tear in the Sky by Coraline Cory that created that helps us understand how these portals, these openings between dimensions are created. There, that was scientifically proven through their research. But many contactees are understanding this.
I got into a discussion not long ago with a guy, and I was talking about interdimensional things, and he said, "What is it? Is it different levels of vibration? I mean, being interdimensional, would that be different levels of vibration, or would it be different funnels of consciousness?"
That's a
Have any
really beautiful
thoughts on that?
question. I would say that there's a parallel between those because in order to have a different funnel of consciousness, everything is energy. Everything is energy. That is the core foundational building block of creation. And I believe that, when we talk about different funnels of consciousness, for example, those are different frequencies that we tune into, kind of like radio waves, radio stations, that the human is tuning into different stations at once. But what that means is that when you tune into that different frequency, that's an entire plane that you enter into. That frequency has an entire construct. There are laws to that frequency. There are, there's a structure to that frequency. And so we enter into those dimensions based on the shift of frequency of our own bodies. That essentially becomes the entryway into those portals. And of course, brain waves also have to change because when we leave our physical body in dream state, depending on how your brain wave is, the deeper, the faster you're oscillating in your brain wave, the higher dimensions you have the ability to enter into, the broader the range of frequencies that you can access, okay, through your out of body, through your astral body. So it's very much about that frequency. And as the Buddhist monks talked about the rainbow body, self-organizing these frequencies in the body, bringing them into harmony and order, this is the embodiment of the zero point that allows you to access many dimensions in one state, in one sitting. So that is the power that the human has. We can become extremely interdimensional by learning how to unpack the lower density blockages in the body, thought forms, programs, fears, and sufferings. And the more zero point we become, the higher we're able to travel in these higher densities and interact with higher density beings as well, which are an extension of us. This is something that we need to understand. We tend to compartmentalize things, us and them, but we would never come in contact with anything that isn't in resonance to us. And that's another law that we need to understand within our DNA, within our encoding. In fact, based on my research, interdimensional contact is very much a genetic expression. We have these connections to these species, these bloodlines through our entire lineage, and they become expressed. They are projected into our dream state, into our experiences. We have agreements with them. And as much as we're breaking and evolving through the human experience, we're also breaking contracts and evolving in our dream state. That's why lucidity in both planes is extremely important at this time.
Now, you also help people with some DNA programming. I know most people think that if it's in my DNA, if I have the cancer gene, which doesn't exist, but if they think they do, well, I'm going to get cancer. So That's no, it doesn't have to be that way. Or if you're afraid of the water, can't get to the ocean and go swimming because of something that you're scared of, that could be ancestral, way back, generations that is coming through. Now you're helping people get rid of these phobias. Talk a little bit about what you do in that area, because there is help for those people that has even bad habits.
That's right. Yeah, so really any state of suffering that you're experiencing can be deprogrammed. And simply what that means is that you learn how to tune in to that suffering itself and hold space for the emotions that begin to arise. Because we are multidimensional beings, we're very multi-layered, and emotions are if you were to see them in some other dimensional plane, emotions are like energy structures. Those energy structures make up your physical body, and they have many layers to them. So one emotion that you might feel when you get into the layers of that emotion, not only does it show you how you have progressed in your psychology and emotional body to that emotion, how you have suppressed other emotions underneath that, your understanding of that emotion, your understanding of how to process and experience these experiences that cause these emotions, all of that is recorded in your emotional body. So DNA reprogramming basically accesses the emotions, and we get into primary, secondary, and tertiary emotion. And when you uncover those layers, you are going into root of these emotions, the root of it. The roots are very profound programs that you are holding on to, programs that you've adopted since the womb. In fact, it's in the womb that we actually create the majority of these programs from our mother and from our father during the gestation process. Those create powerful filters of perception that are not always easy to break because you're bioelectrical and biochemically addicted and programmed to experience and respond to your external experiences in the way that you're programmed. So, to deprogram and break these programs, it requires us to get to the root. And when you get to the root, begin to work with the memories. You open up a bank of memories, and these memories are sprinkled throughout your life where you have relived this trauma, this experience over and over again. Now, trauma simply means that you did not have the tools in the to an emotional and memory toolbox to be able to respond to an experience. And when there is that dissonance and that disconnect emotionally and energetically in the body, this creates a gap in the way that you process information. Oftentimes, this can be missing memory, as we mentioned earlier. It can be emotional stagnation and blockage where you can't access your emotions. It can be physical illness and ailments that is suppressed within the body. These kinds of traumas are so strong that they are passed down generations. And the way that we are born, brought together, even in unions, our husband and wife, that create a family together, those are all part of these programs that bring us into resonance. That's how deep these programs go. So we want to learn how to become aware of those core programs that don't serve our expansion and our healing, and gently broadening the perspective of those very myopic states of suffering and unconsciousness. And we do that gently through the deprogramming process that heals the body, opens up energy space, allows you to become more of a conduit of life force in the body. And more importantly, remember who you are, because who you think you are in this moment or the personalities that you hold on to are actually survival constructs that you create. You know, and then it's not even close to who you really are. And so it's important that humanity realizes that and fleshes out these old programs because this is how we heal the collective ultimately. And so yeah, so the work is pretty deep, powerful work, and it's not easy work because we need to excavate into those emotions. But once we do, the human experiences profound freedom, liberation, clarity, and they are brought back eventually into this innocence, where they are not a product of trauma, of suffering, of helplessness. They come into an empowered state, of a childlike state of co-creation and love. And that is really one of the most healing states to be in, not just for yourself, but your entire ancestral lineage and the
Yeah.
world at large. Yeah.
And you also teach Qigong. I know enough about Qigong to know it's a phenomenally good way to keep your energy in the body flowing, as well as excellent exercise. So talk a little bit about that. And also you teach meditation and the other things that you do, so people can get to know what you can help them with.
Thank you so much, Augie. My primary work is teaching people how to cultivate their life force, master their life force. And the emotional DNA reprogramming is a major foundation to that. What happens when you start cleaning up emotions is that you start moving energy in your body. And Qigong is a very wonderful technique and practice to help you clear the energy runways of body. See, the way that our body is structured, and I haven't mentioned this earlier, but as a result of my contact experience in 2013, I developed really powerful psychic abilities to be able to see the multidimensional body. And it's through that vision that allowed myself to understand deeply how these energy runways move and to work with them and creating kind of an architecture to the body. When we are blocked in our body, energy literally cannot move. And so this is why people end up in depression and sadness and sorrow and in blocking states. But you can very easily remove that energy out of the body and it will change the way that you perceive life and yourself. So it's really important that the human learns how to move energy through. And that's what Qigong is about. It's the movement of energy. Because we're not just energy bodies, but we emerge from energy through the morphogenetic field. We have something called the morphogenetic field, which essentially is like an instruction manual of the form that you are. And encoded in that morphogenetic field is your ancestral history, future aspects of yourself, and past aspects of yourself. So the idea is that you recollect your memory and you remember who you are in these different aspects of yourself. And that helps you in your journey and your purpose, defining your purpose, your intention for your existence. It's very important for you to get clear about the intention of your existence. So that's basically what we do. And I use hypnotherapy, meditation techniques, all for the purpose of the cultivation of life force.
Excellent. Yeah. And also you are doing something with stress reduction. And boy, these days we can use that. And the stress reduction is you go back to the roots of the stress. If the stress is actually kind of like a symptom of something, isn't it? So that if you go back and remove the cause for it, the symptoms go away. So talk about that a little bit, because I know a lot of people have stress.
So essentially, it's about training ourselves to come into the zero point. What is the zero point? It's existing in a state of non-judgmental observation. The observer, the one that is observing within you, that is the true self. And essentially, I use many techniques to help people find that, train them to embody that, and to exist in that state for prolonged amounts of time until they are programmed to embody that state. We deprogram the survival one, the one that's in survival all the time, and most of our wrong choices and suffering experiences and the ones that take us out of alignment usually are as a result of the suffering of the survival mechanism, the survival self. So to shift from the survival self into a state of observation, non-judgmentally towards yourself and others, is actually one of the most powerful ways to create peace and harmony in yourself and to remove yourself from a constant addiction to stress. Now, stress is a very biochemical process, and that means that we are deeply addicted. We are literally so familiar with stress hormones in the body that when we don't have them, we feel like we're dying or something is wrong. And we need the drama, we need the problems in order to maintain us in a state of purpose. That's how inverted our perception of reality and our human experience is. But this is widely, widely part of our society. We even see it in films, in sitcoms, we hear it in music, and we think it's normal. But in reality, the true way of existing in harmony, not only with yourself, but with nature, requires you to overcome that addiction. And we will go through withdrawal. You will go through a withdrawal period where you're going to want to go back to those old emotions, those old dramas. And it takes a lot of self-love and compassion. And this is essentially the journey of love. You are learning how to love yourself unconditionally, and be able to love others unconditionally so that you can maintain yourself in a state of observation, deep observation. Yeah, so that's really what it's about.
Most people are addicted to something. Guess what? Coffee. So yeah,
That's
and
okay.
that's the thing though. Coffee. We've been lied to about that. Coffee's got a lot of good advantages, but it has almost borderlining an addiction effect because there is something good in it, and we get to crave that good stuff. It makes us feel better, more optimistic, and I don't know what else is. I wrote an article on that several years ago, and it was pretty good. But coffee is actually good for you. You're drinking tea, and even green tea is said to have tremendous health benefits for cancers and all kinds of stuff. So, but we can feel like we're almost addicted to it. But distinguishing between the addictions that doesn't help us and the one that is good, that can be kind of a diffused border sometimes. So how do we distinguish between something like that? We
Well,
a lot of times when we are addicted to something that says, "Nah, that's not bad for me. This is good. I like it." But it may not be all that good.
right. Well, I would say that any addiction or any attachment to any one thing, emotion, sensation, is always going to result in the limiting of your expansion. It's always going to cause suffering because anytime we're attached to something or we're biochemically used to feeling something, the moment that changes or shifts or isn't there anymore, we will suffer. So, in my opinion, I really believe that humans have to move away from addictive behaviors and actually become more familiar with constant cycles, cycles of regeneration, cycles of having and not having, and letting go and being okay with stopping certain behaviors at any time. If we realize that it's a beneficial to the greater whole of yourself and others. And I think that that's something that's part of a new human that is emerging right now, where we begin to realize that unity consciousness is really about the awareness of the cause and effect of your actions and your choices. When you choose something, do you really realize the impact of that choice? Many times we don't realize how our little tiny addictions actually cause major ripple effects in this world, even if it's eating cookies or buying clothes or something. And you begin to realize those inexpensive clothes that you're buying are actually made in factories by children. The sugary cookies that you're buying, are feeding into an industry of sugar that is poisoning children around the world and adults and creating so much illness for the pharmaceutical industries. And so, there's just another way of existing where we just have to question often, why do we do things and what is happening as a result of my choice? And that really allows you to shift in the way that you exist in a way that's more harmonious. You might choose more natural, you might choose healthier, you might choose things that are more in harmony. And that really comes from a more harmonious state of existence.
Yeah. See, we are getting down towards the end here, but let people know where they can get a hold of you so they can have a conversation, and maybe you could help them with some of the things that you do. Hypnosis and DNA programming is right at the top of the list, because I've been a hypnotist for well over 50 years, and I know all the phenomenal advantages that can be done by that. Even the DNA programming is very possible. So let people know where they can get a hold of you, and website and so on.
Thank you so much. Well, the first resource is my YouTube channel at Geraldine Orozco. I have a lot of hours and hours of meditation challenges and practices that you can do, self-guided and free. So definitely start there. And if you want more personalized one-on-one support, you can schedule a DNA reprogramming at geraldineorozco.com. If you are an experiencer and you're looking to learn more about your contact experiences, how to master and control that or work with that, you can reach me at hybridmother.com. And I'm really honored and happy to support you. My hypnotherapy practice is also on geraldineorozco.com. You can reach me. So thank you
Good,
so much,
good.
Augie, for having me. It was such a pleasure to be
Oh,
here.
this is wonderful. A quick question at the end, though. What is next for you? What are you hiding back in the dark center to expose to the world new?
Well, right now I'm just finishing up my book, and I will be speaking at a couple conferences this year. I'll be on a very beautiful cruise to Alaska, actually in December, and I would love to invite you all to join me there. I'll send you the link, Augie, to put below. But we're going to be moving from Seattle to Alaska, and Alaska is actually one of my favorite places in the world. It's so beautiful. The nature there, the glaciers, the beautiful snow-capped mountains, powerful forests are just so healing. And that area in Alaska is a very special portal as well. There's a lot of very pure vortex energy in that place for healing. So we're going to be having a conference with a lot of amazing speakers there, and you can join us on that cruise, and I'll send you the link. So that's something that's coming up in December.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. I got one last question for you. My favorite question. If you could talk to the whole world and the world is listening, what would you tell them?
Given the context of our conversation today, it's important for you to not fear your interdimensional nature. Actually, one of the greatest spiritual blockages is that we don't dive into the spiritual interdimensional nature of ourselves. In this evolutionary process as we're moving in the world, we are being invited to access that part of you, because hidden in that part of you is deeper healing, deeper expansion. And a new way of seeing yourself that is helping you broaden your perspective as a human, and non-human as well. Work on fear. Try to shift from fear into neutral observation to allow yourself to move through everyday life experiences as much as the things that are happening to you in dream state. So this is my invitation.
All right.
Thank
Well,
you so
thank you
much,
very much
Augie.
for being with us, and I'd love to have you back very soon.
Thank you so much. It's
And
such an honor.
that is it for this time. And watch out for Broadcast Team Alpha here coming up with several shows. So if you like what you heard, please subscribe and click the bell next to it so you can get a notification when we are coming out next. So thank you very much, Geraldine, for being with us.